that. The first line of defense kit includes NutriImmune and NutriDefense, providing top biological host defenses against pathogen entry, and provides immune NK killer cell boosting. Also included, the NanoMask nanoparticular antiviral masks with replacement filters, providing supreme viral protection from airborne pathogens. And the first line of defense wipes allows non-toxic viral and bacterial pathogen killing power on all surfaces. The first line...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw, who is, of course, the president of Freedom Advocates here in Santa Cruz. It's an organization dedicated to educating the public about the danger of these programs that are being introduced all across our country. But under central guidance, they call it sustainable development. They call it Agenda 21. They call it community visioning. They call it community planning. They call it visioning for the future, but it's really all about controlling your property and taking away your rights of private property. Michael, thank you so very much for being with us again tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure, Dr. Stan, and it is a pleasure to be here, and tonight is special because we've had an inquiry from people in Spokane, Washington. They have encountered, I think it's new to most of the people, the existence, they've encountered the existence in their community of ICLEI. ICLEI is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Now, let's just say that again. The International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. What ICLEI does is it comes into communities all across America, really all across the world, but we'll focus on America tonight. Over 450 communities are now official dues-paying ICLEI participants. What that entitles them to is the tool chest that ICLEI provides for turning your community into a smart growth, sustainable development community. In order to meet the guidelines of the United Nations Agenda 21 program. Now, that sounds outrageous. What community would put up with a United Nations accredited NGO coming in from Canada to work with your mayor and your city council people to cause them to implement the environmental program of sustainable development? It sounds preposterous, but Dr. Stan, we live in a county that has that contract with the same organization. Santa Cruz County has had a contract since the mid-90s to pay dues to ICLEI, use that toolbox to bring us the transportation systems, the water policies, the building policies, the wildland creations, all designed by the United Nations in its Agenda 21 protocol.
And I don't think most people understand that there is a worldwide plan for control. And this is really what it's all about, a worldwide fascist system. But it's being brought into communities all across America under the name of progress, under the name of, correcting the problems, under the name of anticipating problems in the future. But it is carefully coordinated from without, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's from without. And the notion that elected city council and board of supervisors people would turn their city's leadership over to an NGO accredited by global institutions for the creation of a one-world order, a one-world government, to their community under the guise of environmentalism. It's time that people in Santa Cruz do what the people in Spokane are doing, which is rallying up an understanding of what ICLEI is and a demand of their city representatives to cease.
But of course, you're not going to hear about this usually through the newspapers. It's rare that we'll have a radio station that will carry the information, will tell the people the truth. And that's why Michael Shaw is here tonight, to bring you the information you're not going to get elsewhere, and hopefully to rally the people for freedom. Well, Michael, go right ahead.
Well, let me just give a quick definition of sustainable development, because that is the program that ICLEI proudly pronounces it is implementing in and throughout the city of Spokane, Washington. Now, the United Nations, in creating these documents, defined sustainable development this way. It said, quote, meeting today's needs without compromising future generations to meet their own needs. Sounds warm and fuzzy. All the language sounds warm and fuzzy. But if we think through what this might mean, we probably need to go no further than to understand that this same language was taken from the 1976 Soviet Constitution. You see, the Program for Sustainable Development, in part, is about the abolition of private property. The definition that I think is more suited to sustainable development is this. It is the process by which America is being reorganized around the central principle of state collectivism, using the environment as bait. It does this while our children are being prepared to live in a state-run collective. Now, I think evidence of this exists in every community, in virtually every way that's relevant. Our school systems have been federalized. Our federal government has adopted the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Protocol. It did that in 1992, when George Bush Sr. signed the UN protocol.
I think for our listeners out there, Agenda 21 is simply the agenda, the internationalist, the elite's agenda for the 21st century. Nothing mysterious about it, published by the United Nations. It lays out the plan for control of the world through, of course, the environment, and then it is implemented under sustainable development. But you go right ahead.
Well, so the Agenda 21 protocol was made part of the federal government in 1992. In 1993, President Clinton set up the President's Council for Sustainable Development. That is designed to implement these programs of a globalist nature that are designed to restructure how it is we live. Well, in 1995, ICLEI US was formed in Toronto, Canada. By 1997, Santa Cruz was a member and pronounced by ICLEI as one of its leading examples across the country. Today, it has over 450 communities, including Spokane, Washington. Now, in Spokane...
I'm gonna interrupt you right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, of course, is Michael Shaw, and he's just talking about this program put forward by ICLEI, which is an internationalist organization that has over 400 communities. It's brought under its international control to carry out its international program, and not local programs. They are simply inflicting these on communities all across America. It is part of Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It is the international, the policy of the people of great wealth who want to control our lives, their agenda for the 21st century. And you go right ahead, Michael.
Well, we can define sustainable development maybe another step. It has what it characterizes as the three E's. First is the environment. You know, it's to use the environment for any excuse to take private property. It's about what they call equity, or the social element of sustainable development. And that is about changing our system of justice from equal justice to social justice. That means from a system where everyone is treated equally under the law to a system where the law is modified to meet the needs of various groups when it comes to the application of law. Our courts are practicing social justice today. Many judges are proud proponents of social justice. Social justice is a concept that is incorporated into the globalist one-world movement called Agenda 21. And then the third element is to shift our system of economics from free enterprise to public-private partnership. And you'll see that what results in the wake of ICLEI is all kinds of opportunities to go into business in partnership with your local government to meet its environmental needs. And if you are not in partnership with government, you're going to find it increasingly difficult to maintain a viable economic business. An example of that, here in Santa Cruz, we've been allocated $300 million of congressional money for the purposes of building sustainable development housing. That means smart growth built, stack and pack them along a railroad line. Well, roughly $90,000 for every 800 square foot unit that is built by certain partners, builder partners in this town, with government, who build the government's design, they receive $80,000 or $90,000 per 800 square foot unit they build.
Now, can they then go ahead and sell that and make a profit? Or?
Well, they can sell it at prices controlled by government. But at that level of subsidy, you got your cost covered before you start. Because the land is usually bought up from some poor fella who didn't know what was intended for his land. He just knew he couldn't put it to any use himself. So he sells it for a song. The developer then gets the federal money through the county government and builds a great profit to himself, while the community is left with subsidized units in mass quantity along railroad lines. Now, that's your prototype smart growth development, and that is the kind of development pattern that is pursued and assisted by organizations like ICLEI. Well, ICLEI, going back to their essence, is what's called an NGO, a non-governmental organization. Now, real non-governmental organizations, what the term really means is that it is an organization that has been accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21, also called Sustainable Development. So what we have are cities across the country that are engaged in the Global to Local Action Plan by working directly with ICLEI, paying ICLEI a fee, a foreign, I'm going to call them a governmental entity, representing the creation of a world government that will not recognize your unalienable right to life, liberty, and property, that will regard you as chattel, that is goods. You are human chattel, with no higher regard than what should be given in a plant, an animal, or even a rock.
And really, of course, a lot of this came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992, which was put on by the elitists so they plan their takeover of the world. Didn't a lot of these ideas come out of there?
Well, that is exactly where they came from. The Agenda 21 protocol came from that conference, was signed by President Bush, and brought in and placed into the federal agencies without congressional approval or anybody's approval. And Clinton has been a full supporter. George Bush was a massive supporter. And Barack Obama has indicated a desire to accelerate the pace.
But, of course, the average person has no idea these things are even going on because you're not supposed to, because your newspapers aren't going to tell you.
Well, your
news magazines are going to tell you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The newspapers do not tell you. Last week, the Spokane the newspaper did report on the uprising coming from a legion of citizens and causing embarrassment to the city council, forcing them to have to postpone their decisions on various ICLEI implementations. But the good news is that in the city of Spokane, it is the first city in over 450 with the ICLEI program for there to become any awareness amongst the public that ICLEI, an international NGO designed to implement the United Nations One World Government that results in the massive reduction of human population and the total control of the rest of the population, is sitting in their city. So HAPS from all of us need to be tipped to the people in Spokane, because they've got a tiger by the tail right now.
Well, you know, Michael, you always mentioned that, of course, the whole idea is to build these affordable units along a rail line. And I suddenly realized that's exactly what they've done here in Santa Cruz. You know, I'd never realized it before, but you're absolutely right. But why do they want these things along a railroad line?
Well, because when people are assigned their jobs, those jobs will, people will be delivered to those jobs via rail lines. It is limiting the freedom of mobility that destroys freedom. That's why the drive to get us out of cars, engineered by organizations like ICLEI and their Clean Air Initiative proposals, that's their, you know, one of their big drives, is global warming. So they're going to do everything to keep us from warming, which we're not doing. But the focus on every level, coming from an organization like ICLEI, is to cause communities to adopt policies that make it difficult, if not impossible, to own, operate, or enjoy private property. So that's why the environment is the main thrust of the public focus for sustainable development. They don't tell you that the system of sustainable development is designed to change the system of justice, and we're well underway to having that happened already. I'm ready to declare, for instance, that in this state, the state of California, private property has been abolished. Now, you say, well, I'm still living in my home. Yeah, but your right not to be taken out of your home, the prohibitions that protect that right have been lifted. The concept of an owner's right to the use and enjoyment of private property is gone. The point here is that ICLEI's job is succeeding. We are moving very close to that system of global to local action plan implementation, where private property is abolished, where human beings are stacked along railroad lines so that they can go out to their assigned job. Back in 1992, Dr. Stan, when you talk about the Agenda 21 conference, part of the UN festivities, they also they adopted this Agenda 21 book. They also adopted a 1,300-page book called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. That's part of the Agenda 21 package, along with the Kyoto Protocol. And in this biological assessment report, it is called for on page 773 for either the total transformation of society into a peasant society, get ready to be a serf, or if we remain an industrial society, to reduce population from roughly 7 billion to 1 billion.
I think people really need to get this information. Basically, there are three things. You can get Agenda 21. You can get that from Michael Shaw. He actually has copies that available from the United Nations. The Global Biodiversity Assessment Report was actually published by Cambridge University Press, but it lays out the plan for drastic reduction in the population of the world. And then, of course, the third document would be the Earth Charter, which is available on the Internet, or certainly I believe it's available from both Michael's ministries and mine. You need to read what these people are thinking. They have a different world view. They want to impoverish our people. They talk about redistribution of our wealth to the people throughout the world, which is exactly what's going on today. Here, the United States is having to borrow money every single day, close to $3 billion just to pay its bills. And what are we doing? Why, we're shipping foreign aid all over the world. Why would you be shipping foreign aid all over the world when you're having to borrow money every day to pay your bills? Why, very simply, because our leaders have a different agenda, but they can't tell the common people. Their real goal is the goal of the Earth Charter, and that is point 10B, equitable distribution of the wealth between nations. That means we ship our wealth all throughout the rest of the world, we lower our living standards, and we raise their living standards, but the common people wouldn't understand that. So, well, we've got to keep it coming. And you don't hear the Earth Charter, which is major design for what's going on today discussed, but the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, available from Cambridge University Press, is summarized in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, so I'm sure Michael can get that for you. And certainly the Agenda 21, which he offers. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Michael Shaw. Michael, go right ahead.
Well, let's get to the roots of what they like to call local action. You know, there used to be a bumper sticker here in Santa Cruz, oh, 20 years ago. It was Think Global.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
So people have to be involved. Forget about the federal government. Most of the congressmen have been bought and purchased. They know what's going on. That's why they never talk about it. Certainly Congressman Ron Paul and a small handful of people who believe in the Constitution and want to preserve our freedom, you know, are opposing this sort of thing. But certainly if anything's going to be accomplished, it's going to be accomplished at the local level by people who want to preserve their freedom and realize, of course, that this whole idea is to oppose international control at the local level. There it is, an international plan. There really are people of great wealth who want a world fascist society. They're moving very, very rapidly, and most people have no idea what's going on. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you're exactly right, Dr. Stan. Let me give some of the names of people and organizations who are characterized on the ICLEI website as generous givers for sustained growth. Right at the top is the David Rockefeller Fund. The people who don't know David Rockefeller, he's an old man today, head of the Rockefeller clan, the founder, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. There is a Trilateral Commission. It is, in Rockefeller's own words, it is designed to end American sovereignty. Anyway, David Rockefeller is the main contributor. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District, I assume that's the organization that controls our air here in Santa Cruz and across the rest of the San Francisco Bay Area. Big players in this new system of government based on regionalism without political boundaries, of public housing and public transportation, where people do what they're assigned, and where the idea of unalienable rights is simply vanished from the world's political dictionary. The Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, University of California, the Marin Community Foundation, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, federal tax dollars, the New York Community Trust, one of the big sustainable development corporations from the very beginning, Pacific Gas and Electric. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund is also here. The San Francisco Foundation, the Seattle Foundation, the Tides Foundation, the University of Michigan School of Public Health, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, more tax money, and the U.S. EPA Office of Environmental Education. Well, I didn't know that we had so many governmental agencies. I think maybe we may be spending too much. There is a huge consortium of very powerful, very deep pockets that stand behind a silent ICLEI organization. Your local newspapers are all compliant in not reporting on ICLEI, except maybe a little cheerleading article, which we get about every decade here in Santa Cruz. But otherwise, nobody knows anything. That's the intention. Now, the partners for ICLEI include, these are just a partial list off of their website, the California Climate Action Registry, the Clean Air, Cool Planet, we've been seeing those ads on TV lately, organization, the Clinton Climate Initiative, C40 Large Cities Climate Leadership Group. And the climate issue is so important, and that's why listeners who have not seen Michael Kaufman's new video, I think it's called Understanding Global Warming, brand new one, haven't seen it, haven't gotten it to their school-age children's teachers so that they can show it to their classrooms, are missing the boat here. There's 31,000 climate scientists around this country who have signed on saying that the IPCC is simply wrong. Everything ICLEI does is predicated upon your belief in the fraud of global warming.
Well, of course, the fraud is not that we don't have a little global warming, although it's been cooling recently the last 5 years, but that man really has anything to do with it, that it has to do with CO2. CO2 is a miracle gas. It makes everything grow better. It makes the trees grow better, and the vegetables and the flowers, they all grow better under carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide makes up only 0.0388% of our atmosphere, and most of that didn't come from mankind. It came out of the ocean, as the ocean's warm because of the solar changes. But they're never going to tell you that, because, of course, they want to control you and your family. We'll be right back. Well, Michael, go right ahead.
Well, one other comment on the global warming issue. When it comes to carbon dioxide emissions, the true history is that warming precedes those emissions. The emissions do not lead to warming. So when people can begin to see why it is that the scientists who are not covered by newspapers have fallen very heavily against the man-made global warming theory, it is in large part because the whole foundation of the connection between warming and carbon dioxide simply isn't there from historical records. Well, let me talk about some more of the partners in ICLEI. It includes the National Association of Counties, the National Association of Clean Air Agencies, the National League of Cities. You know their message is getting to all the League of City members. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, so-called NOAA. The National Wildlife Federation, they get the environmental entities. The Natural Resources Defense Council. I mean, this is a complete list. It goes on and on. The U.S. Conference of Mayors, the University of Texas at Arlington, the U.S. Green Building Council. I mean, the partners for the implementation of their philosophy and their policy are all over. They're with deep pockets, and they should be taken seriously. This is not a fly-by-night movement. This is financed at the deepest of the deep pockets of the globalist bankers who have created a funny money system and take all the profits from the creation of that system. Use those profits to buy up governmental operations in a figurative sense. In a literal sense, they buy up the news and entertainment sectors of our society and end up controlling with the vast resources they can accumulate from managing this funny money system. They use those resources to buy up the centers of power. And after 100 years of operation that way in the United States, we are ready to be taken down. ICLEI is a major tool. Tools used by globalist activists.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. And before we go on, Michael, I would like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization, get your webpage out there, get your telephone number out there.
Well, it's freedomadvocates.org, easy enough on the web, freedomadvocates.org, that's the plural advocates. And our phone number is 831-684-2232. 831-684-2232. If you go to our website and just put in small letters ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I, you'll come up with a dozen or more articles that make reference to the workings of ICLEI. The real value of our website is to understand the process that ICLEI is working to achieve. That process is called Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And for 8 years, our focus has been very tight on this issue. You know, coming from Santa Cruz, one of the sample test plots for the Agenda 21 concepts, going back even to the 70s, was here. And so after seeing strange things and, you know, watching how this county would be laughed at by places elsewhere in the country, you know, it's developed that the last laugh is on everybody else. Because every place has a Santa Cruz-type sustainable development plan program in place. If you think you don't, you just haven't looked. It's usually somewhat hidden from public view, but once you understand what you're looking for, and that's what we try to do at Freedom Advocates, is help you understand what to look for. We offer tools from pamphlets to audio to video to lots of other print production. The pamphlets are probably the best tool for bringing yourself up to speed. Once you do that, you bring other people up to speed, because Americans are going to have to wake up to the internationalist program that is lying in wait, carving at the corpus of the American spirit every day with an accelerating fury.
All right. Well, now, what website should they go to, and what telephone number again?
It's freedomadvocates.org, 831-684-2232. Let me recommend you see them on our homepage. You can download them and read them for free. And if you want to circulate it, you can buy them very inexpensively, the various pamphlets that we have published on sustainable development.
And one more time, the telephone number.
831-684-2232.
And that, of course, is freedomadvocates.com. So Google it. .org. Okay, fine. Go right ahead.
Well, sometimes people will say, well, why would they want to make so much effort to put together programs, whether it's on global warming and, you know, making it impossible for you to live in your home? Why would they want to endeavor into such programs when nobody wants them? Well, the answer to that question lies in the origin of each specific project. Sustainable development projects are often initiated at the directive of NGOs or nonprofit organizations that have or create fear over problems that are portrayed as a crisis. It could be development near a riparian corridor, like what's going on in Sonoma County right now, or poor water management infrastructure, like what we've got here in Santa Cruz, and how it is they're able to make attack after attack on private interests in water, or that there's too many cars on the freeway. You know, these are the kinds of examples ICLEI comes in with, and they make a big mountain out of those molehills. The purpose to make the big mountain is so they can adopt policies that get to the implementation of the philosophy of the globalist machinery, and that is the abolition of private property.
And, of course, this is all about an elite group who really want to rule the world. And of course, they take away your property, they enslave you, they lower your living standards. They've raised the price of electricity, and if you don't know, that's one of the next things that they're planning on doing. They're going to tell you we're going to cut the cost of energy, what they're really talking about. When they say that, understand they really mean to double or triple the cost of energy. They're going to run the cost up to lower your standards. Why should you have air conditioning and heat in your home when the people in Bangladesh don't have any? We've got to have equitable distribution of wealth throughout the world. Now, they want to redistribute your wealth, not their wealth. The elite, of course, the Al Gores of this world are going to live in their mansions, but you common people, well, I mean, what rights do you really have when there's so much suffering in the world? Our telephone number, if you'd like to call Michael, and you have a question about this specific subject on ICLEI, which is coming into the Spokane area, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, it's vitally important that people can go up on the Internet and look up the Rio Conference of 1992, the Conference of Rio 1992, find out who was there, and the Al Gores of the world were there, and certainly George Bush was fully in support of this whole thing. The elite of the world were there, and of course they are the ones who are planning this whole takeover. And this is not just here in the United States, it's the entire world. But the average person has no idea what's going on. So, again, if you have a question, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Well, ICLEI was launched in 1990 at the World Congress of Local Governments for a Sustainable Future. And that is based in Toronto, Canada, but it also has offices around the globe, including Berkeley, California. Stated mission is to provide policy recommendations to assist local governments in the implementation of sustainable development. Now, if you live in Spokane and you don't know what sustainable development is, that's like not knowing where you're living. Because sustainable development is to change all the rules of American life. All of them. Now, it's easy to say that. One needs more information than that to be able to be effective at countering this move. So again, that's why I invite people. We're not the only place focusing on sustainable development, but our effort from the start was to create the kind of information bank that people who suddenly boom, bop their head into what we knew 8 years ago was set, sprung, and ready to pounce on every community in America, it now has. And people are now beginning to say, whoa, what is this? Is this why things are going wrong today? The answer is yes. You need to find out enough of the specifics so you can look in your community and find out how it is they're applying sustainable principles to alter the course of life for your friends, your family, yourself, for all of us.
All right.
It's not happening just in Spokane. It's not just happening in Spokane and Santa Cruz. Seattle is a huge player in this, as is San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Monica, Santa Cruz, but every community along the Pacific Coast, every community west of the Mississippi, and everything east of the Mississippi is now guided through one organization or another down the sustainable development pathway.
With unlimited funds, of course, aimed at taking away your freedom and impoverishing your community. Well, let's go to Donna, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Donna. Where are you calling from?
Southeast Michigan.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes.
And please speak up, please.
It's about terminology. I'm so glad that Michael Shaw is explaining to us what these terms now mean. Because for years and years and years, sustainable development has meant something different.
Right.
And it's meant something that's been good, and people have dedicated their lives to sustainable development in its good meaning. So not only are they planning to take us over, they have already taken over the language.
You're right.
So my question is, what are some terms now that we can use for what we're going to do? I'm not expecting people to come up with it this minute, but I'm just going to ask, that could be something that would help us now that the real terms have been hijacked.
All right, fine.
Come up with something as catchy as they have.
All right. Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Michael?
Well, I do. It's sort of my standard line, and that is that we need to recognize and understand ourselves what unalienable rights are. Because that's what the battle's all about. That's why America was the unique and special experience of all human history. It's because our Declaration of Independence, the key document here, acknowledged for the first time in human history on a political level that every human being's right to his life, his liberty, and the use and enjoyment of his property could not be taken away by government. Period. Now, if you look in the dictionary today, you want to talk about how the meaning of words change. If you looked in today's dictionary, unalienable is defined the same as inalienable. back in 1828, inalienable meant something entirely different than the natural right to your life, your liberty, and your property. Inalienable means simply that what the law protects you in, you're entitled to. When the law changes, your rights change. Nothing is unalienable. Anything can be aliened, meaning grabbed onto by government. Now, the Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations, in its first sentence, says that it recognizes the inalienable, that's I-N, meaning that if we change the law, you lose the right now. In Article 29, Section 3 of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, okay, the ICLEI organization's efforts are directed to the implementation of the UN Declaration of Human Rights. In Article 29, Section C, it says that all the rights that have been granted to you by the preceding paragraphs are subject to the policies and principles as adopted from time to time by the United Nations. Your rights come from the UN. That's the end game of ICLEI. That's the reason why they have NGO accredited status from the United Nations, is so that they can further that objective. Mayors implementing this are treasonous.
And I think you're absolutely right. There is a massive subversive element. It involves every aspect of our society. The people who talk about globalism, they're really talking about doing away with the sovereignty of this country. And step by step, little by little, they're removing our freedom, moving us towards the global government, the new world order, the new world economic system. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. It is the old-fashioned tyranny, but we can't let the American people know. Donna, thanks so much for calling. We've got to go to Cindy, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Cindy. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I'm just calling from Spokane. We're hunkered down here. We're taking a huge beating.
How is that, Justin?
Well, we're, of course, being called wackos because we go in with scientific evidence that is refuted here. The framework around which our mayor's sustainability task force action plan is built is the concept that global warming is true and that we must hurry, hurry, hurry.
And why don't you just simply ask them what they think about Dr. Arthur Robinson's petition that 33,000 scientists have signed. What is their opinion of that? What about the people, you know, who have actually studied this and point out that, you know, CO2 increase is actually good for society? It's been much higher like this before. I hope maybe you can get some of those DVDs that we have that Dr. Michael Kaufman has put out and the information that Michael Shaw has, and you'll begin to see, you can certainly counter all of their arguments, but just simply ask them, why do they call Greenland Greenland? And it's because it, at one time, 1,000 years ago, it was lush and green. So don't you understand we have cycles of warming and cooling, and this one has nothing to do with CO2? In fact, you simply quote the point that, and this is beautifully brought out by Dr. Kaufman, that actually, if you look at the charts that Al Gore has, where he shows the relationship between CO2 and global warming, the CO2 rises after the warming has occurred, not before the warming occurred. It's not a causal relationship. It is the global warming that heats the sea that drives the CO2 out of the ocean. You've got to learn how to counter this, and you've got to do it in, you know, 20 words or less, a little sound clip. But we've got right and science on our side, and they're simply covering up the fact that over 30,000 scientists have said this is a fraud. Mankind has nothing to do with global warming. Don't dispute that there hasn't been some global warming after the past several hundred years. There has, even though recently there's been global cooling. But certainly the science that they have on their side is totally fraudulent and purchased at great price by people of great wealth.
We brought in our own expert. We have brought in Dr. Edwin Berry from Montana, who is a physicist and a meteorologist, and he is here in Spokane on Friday, and Saturday to exactly present those details. And I have him here if you'd like to just chat with him briefly.
Well, certainly, we've only got about 2 minutes. We'd love to talk to him, though, off the air.
Maybe put him on because he can exactly confirm what you said.
All right, you
He'll be here tomorrow. Here he is.
All right, you're right ahead.
Hi, this is Ed Berry.
Hi, this is Dr. Stan and certainly Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. What sort of reception did you get up there?
Oh, fantastic, yeah. And anyway, regarding the subject, you had a few minutes. One thing, there's never been in the history of science a more powerful government and expensive campaign to try to convince the general public of something in science. In science, it just works. If the scientific method works, the scientists catch on, they see things happening, and the public will automatically accept it. But there's something very, very different here. The scientists, in fact, have not accepted all of this, in spite of what we may hear. There are thousands of scientists out there. I'm just one of them. That are saying, no, this is wrong, and it goes way beyond the 31,000 you have there. You mentioned there's the Senate Minority Report, which everybody can see on the Internet. There's the 101 scientists who worked on the IPCC report. And what I would do is when someone says, really, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're doing fine. We're just about out of time. But give me a call off the air. We'd love to perhaps get you onto our program sometime. Michael, do you have anything before we let Dr. Berry go?
Well, I might suggest to Dr. Berry that he look at the city of Spokane's memo from December 23rd, 2008, where they include the hockey stick graph on
yes.
recordation of temperatures.
Hold that thought for just a moment here.
If they're calling you crazy, just let them know they're poorly, poorly out of date.
The hockey stick is a total fraud of data.
A fraud of data, precisely.
It's a total fraud by the United Nations. It does not exist.
Your city.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
that the conspiracy conference is going to be held on the 5th and 6th of June. That's just about a month from now, about 4 weeks from now, up in the Santa Clara area. And, of course, you can get more information on the Internet at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon, C-O-N.com. And if you need a telephone number, you can always call our 800 number. We'll get back to you with the telephone number to call. But it's going to be a great conference. I'm going to give the lead talk on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So if you're going, be sure to get there early. I think it got a lot of great speakers. And George Norrie is going to be there, a lot of key people who talk about this sort of thing will be there, and we do hope that many of you out there, if you're possibly able to, will come as well. That's the 5th and 6th of June. I would also put in a plug for our conference is going to be on the 25th of October. Our conference is going to be on the 25th of October of this year. It's a Sunday. It's going to be here in the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And so put aside the time, and if you want more information about it, you can always call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. Then I need to remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. If you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and what really energizes these people of great wealth are simply spiritual forces. These people hate Christianity because one of their goals is to destroy Christianity. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, to destroy the moral foundation of this nation. Because if you destroy the moral foundation of a nation built upon Christianity and individual freedom, and then, of course, you can remove individual freedom. These people, many of them, actively worship a different God, and you have to understand Gnosticism to understand what's going on. If you'd like to help us, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Or simply you can go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. There's a donate button there. That's radioliberty.com. We want to mention, of course, some of our new material. We have a great new 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins, and you'll hear my interviews with several CIA trained assassins. And then, of course, you'll want to get the DVD on vaccines and brain development by Dr. Blaylock. And then, of course, we have the DVD by Garth Nicholson on deadly new diseases. Important now as we see this strange new form of influenza virus and swine, avian, human, and it wasn't just simply North American swine, it was Asian swine. How did they get all those together in that one little new virus that occurs suddenly all over the world? Well, maybe it's just by accident, or maybe they had a little help. And we know that they have been creating these new diseases for many years. You go up on the website and look at some of the material we wrote maybe 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, on how they're creating new diseases, many of them racially specific, to eliminate certain racial groups who they hate. And, of course, this is one reason why in parts of Africa today, why one in every three adults will have AIDS. In some areas, one in two adults have AIDS. In Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women there have AIDS. They're all going to die. American tax dollars at work. Understand that there are people who have a different worldview. And as Michael talked about, there is a plan in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. In the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, they talk about limiting the world population to 1 billion. If you have not seen our material on population control, let me suggest my talk on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction, or none dare call it genocide, or population control. If you get any of the items, you can ask for a free copy of my Population Control Agenda monograph. It's a little outdated, but it's the best thing available on population control I know. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking the beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Marty Oakley. And Marty's certainly been working on many of the problems that are facing the farmers across America today, as ever more government control is being exerted upon them to create a problem which is going to make it literally impossible for our farming industry to continue as it has in the past. So, Marty, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Well, certainly one of our good supporters that we've known for many years has called and suggested you had a wonderful story that needed to be gotten out. So thank you so very much for being with us. How did you get interested in the subject?
As a matter of course, and I tend to try to keep up with all the pending legislation, all the things the government is tending to want to do. And I've been doing this for a number of years. Once I got a computer and was able to actually access the legislation online and read it, it was absolutely frightening what they were actually doing and what the public was told they were doing. So as things have moved along through the years, one of the things I came across were these bills about the National Animal Identification System. And the head of the Agriculture Committee in the House is Colin Peterson, who happens to be the representative from my district here in Minnesota. The one thing I found out about Mr. Peterson is he's never here. And he used to be some years ago, and I'd had butted heads with him at a public meeting. He's a man who absolutely cannot be challenged on anything, and particularly by a woman, and just goes into a rage. We saw this in the March 11th committee hearing on NAIS, which was a staged, totally staged hearing. They allowed their proponents of the National Animal Identification System to make long, grandstanding statements that were full of errors and inaccuracies and absolute outright lies, while Dr. Thornsberry, who was speaking for our side and opposing it, was allowed 5 minutes. And then he was cut off, and everyone who was opposed to it, the few that were allowed to speak, got 2 to 3 minutes. Everyone who was for it could talk as long as they wanted. You could see Mr. Peterson becoming more and more enraged, just red in the face and bug-eyed as people stood up and said, wait a minute, what you're saying is not true. The National Animal Identification System is going to be a great benefit to concentrated animal farming or operations And this is where they might have, just hypothetically, they might have 400 head of dairy cows housed, you know, on a few acres. And they will pay for a fee, they will pay a fee per herd up to 80,000 head as though they only have one. And every cow in that herd will have the same number. You go to some small independent producer who has maybe 50 head or up to a couple hundred, and he's going to pay per head. And you have to buy the tags, you have to buy the reading equipment. All of this is to drive small independent family farms out of business and end the competition with industrialized corporate farming.
Of course, it's going to be sold under the idea of, well, we're trying to protect the public in case there's an outbreak of something or other. But of course, it's really all about, of course, centralized planning and destruction of the little guy, enriching the big guy. Lots of bucks here. And of course, there's another thing, and that is, if you destroy the small farmer, you eventually destroy our source of food supply. We'll be right back. Well, Marty, you picked the story up there. Certainly what you're suggesting then is that the big boys like this and it's going to be designed to destroy the competition?
Yes, and the thing about it is they've done this in several other countries. NAIS actually started, I believe it was in Uruguay, and it has basically ended all family, privately owned individual farms and ranches there. And it forced, and it did the same thing in Poland. 80% of all their independent family farms are gone. They said this was a good thing because this would force these farmers into the cities, you know, where they needed to be. These people are there. They're destitute. They have known nothing else other than agriculture. And so they're not able to find work. They've created a whole subclass of the population that's unemployable and is basically living on the fringe, and seize the land and the production of food, which is exactly what they're intending to do here. One of the things that I've tried to explain to people about premises ID, which you have to have a premises ID in order to get the National Animal Identification tagging. And premises, one of the things I have tried to stress to people in any legislation, when you see a commonly used, commonly understood word suddenly swapped out, and another word that sounds like it should be the same thing but really isn't substituted, you need to stand up and pay attention. And this is exactly what's happening here with premises. Property signifies constitutional rights and the outright ownership, okay, of a thing like land or cattle, whatever you happen to be talking about. But it means you have outright ownership and you have control and you have rights and protections that go along with that. And it has to do with the right of dominion. Life, liberty, and property come from the Constitution, and they're supposed to be broadly interpreted. It's an indication of civil rights and constitutional protection. Property, it's any valuable interest you have outside of yourself, okay? It's not confined just to one or two things, but it's everything you own that you have bought and paid for or acquired outside of yourself. And so when I saw in this National Animal Identification...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Marty, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Marty was just saying that certainly this is a massive plan to do away with the small farms, to force the people into the cities, off their land so the land can be seized, so that the large farmers can and the large corporate structures, farming structures, can prosper and, of course, control the food supplies. And, of course, she's talking about how they change the meaning of words and how they always sound, oh, all of this is so, we're concerned about you, we're from the government, and we really want to help you. But, of course, what they really want to do is take away our basic rights to liberty and property. And because they can't do that according to the Constitution, so they've got to circumvent the Constitution, and they have to use all these faulty words, and they change the meaning of words, but it all has to do with the dictatorship under a ruling elite. But you go right ahead with the story, Marty.
All right. When I was researching the National Animal Identification System, the draft report, 2005 draft report from the USDA, I keep seeing the word premises. So I looked it up, and premises is derived from international law and agreements, okay? And it implies that someone other than the person operating or managing that property owns it, okay? Now, the reason they got rid of the word property is because, like I say, this is a civil right, this is a constitutionally protected right. You cannot invade a man's property. Okay, they put the word premises in there. This takes you out of the Constitution, okay? And this puts you in administrative court statutes and codes. This is where the Uniform Commercial Code comes in, where the U.S. Code and Title comes in, and instead of going by the common constitutional civilly protected laws given to you as an individual person, you're now defined as a premises. And if you sign up for premises ID, you are in essence signing a contract with the USDA conveying ownership of your property to a third party. And who is unspecified at the moment, it can be determined at a later date. But you are now no longer referred to as the property owner, but as the operator manager.
Well, now, why would anybody want to sign anything with the government?
Well, the thing is, every time you apply for a driver's license, you get a birth certificate, you apply for Social Security, you sign a W-2 form, you have entered into a contract with the corporate federal government. And I have done extensive research on this. I can document everything I'm saying. In 1871, in the 43rd Congress, our federal government was incorporated, and it became the corporate entity known as the United States or the United States of America. And it is listed on Dun & Bradstreet. The Supreme Court, every agency that exists that the government has created is listed on Dun & Bradstreet. They are all separate little sub-corporations. So when our government enters into, here again is another one of these word swaps. Sounds like it should mean the same thing, but it doesn't. Our Constitution recognizes treaties as the law of the land. In other words, if we enter into a treaty with another nation, that is the law of the land, and you must abide by it. What the corporate government has done as a corporate entity has entered into trade agreements. That's a corporate term. And they have entered into those agreements as a corporate entity, acting as government, doing business with another corporate entity in another country, acting as government. This is why in these things we see the corporation of all kind raised to a level above human beings. They have all rights above human beings. All profits are first and foremost. The rights of the corporation supersede those of any individual. Under CAFTA is a good example, what they call trade illegal. You cannot have a community law, a state law, a federal law that interferes with the corporation making the profits they believe they're entitled to. Okay, and if you do have a law like that, they can sue the state, the locale, whatever, and they'll win, and they have won to strike that law down, because CAFTA in particular lays it out that that corporation, whatever corporation it is that's operating under CAFTA, has all rights, and we as individuals, as citizens of the United States, have none. And our government entered into this not as the constitutional republic of the people, but as the corporate entity, United States of America. And but here, like I say, you see the swapping of the word treaty for agreement. Sounds like the same thing to most people. Most people won't even look into it. It's entirely different under the law. Entirely different. And it makes a change in whether you are treated as a sovereign, constitutionally protected person with civil rights, or whether you are treated as a corporate trust. And this, all of these agreements, all of them, are meant to undermine and dismantle what we think is the constitutional republic. We haven't operated under that since 1871, and that was never more evident than when they passed the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 that totally abolished our treasury and the Department of the Treasury. That was a corporate move, and we incorporated the banking system into a central bank. People, they need to pay attention. You need, I walk around with a dictionary, and I'm referencing Black's Law all the time, or I go to Cornell Law to get terms and definitions. And Cornell Law is a good example, and several others do the same thing. You go to Cornell Law and type in the words United States for a definition, and the first one is a corporation. It seems like the only people who don't know that are the people out here in the United States. The federal government exists on the 10 dedicated miles known as the District of Columbia. And according to the corporation, the only true citizens of the United States are the people that reside within that 10-mile area. The rest of us are sovereign citizens of the United States, all in small letters, and we can establish our sovereignty, which I thought we were going to see, but then that turned out to be a false front when all the states started declaring, you know, their sovereignty from the federal government. That was a stage show, too. Not one of them has done anything to support that. But this is basically what they were getting around to, was cornering the corporate federal government. And so you have to understand, when you're going back to National Animal Identification and Premises ID, when you sign your name to anything, you are entering into a contract with the federal government. And this is exactly how it's viewed. So if they come after you for anything, you can't go to civil court. You have got to go, you'll get a notice from an administrative court with your name all in capital letters. And that goes back to old Sumerian law. When you capitalized a man's name, you took away all his civil rights. You took away his identity as a human being. You took away all of his property. That's what's happening here. A lot of this stuff goes back. I mean, it's ancient in its origins. But it's something that has been a significant legal weapon against the people. And when what you said about finding end runs around the Constitution, that's what these programs are. That's what National Animal Identification System and Premises ID is.
Well,
moving you away from the Constitution.
Well, Marty, what can people do as far as this effort to force them? You know, certainly the small farmer can't have every chicken, you know, with an ID card on it. They can't have every goose or every lamb with this. I mean, this is fine for a corporate entity. They have the whole herd there. They have a whole flock of chickens all born and hatched on the same day. So what can the small farmer do to protect himself from this?
You know what they're doing, Dr.
Power
Stan?
Grab by the
they're getting
government.
Rid of their animals. They're getting rid. They're doing exactly what the government wants them to do. They're getting out of business. And the thing is, this does not just apply to people who produce livestock or poultry for for commercial production. If you've got a few chickens running around in your yard, you've got to get tags for them. You've got to have them chipped. And you've got to sign up for premises ID. They're even extending this now to your pets. If you've got a dog or a cat, you've got to have them chipped and you've got to sign up for premises ID.
Well, no, but basically I know a lot of people who have dogs and cats and they haven't done anything of this sort.
Not yet. Not yet. There's Bill H.R. 814, which establishes formally, they've tried to put this into place across the country on what they call the voluntary system, and the backlash to it has just been monstrous. They don't acknowledge that. what they did here in 2005, I believe it was, the USDA, in collusion with Senators Cole and Obie in Wisconsin and several other people in the Ag Department there, took a $35 million, I call it a bribe, they call it a cooperative agreement, and they passed NAIS in Wisconsin, and they said, don't worry, we're passing it, but it's voluntary. Well, immediately, as soon as it was passed, it became quite apparent that it was not voluntary. And they have been harassing the heck out of these people. A friend of mine there, Paul Griegentrop, has just fought them. I tell you, this man, they ought to build a monument to him.
Well, no, basically, is this dealing with family pets, or does this deal with animals?
Both.
In other words, the law in this state includes you have to have your dog and your cat registered?
Yes.
But this is not a federal law at the present time.
No. This is 814 that they're talking about now in the
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Marty Oakley talking about animal identification. And, of course, this is a very serious threat.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Implemented, of course, by the government without the knowledge of most people. Most people have no idea what's going on, except some of the farmers, of course, when they come in, somebody comes on their property and tells them, you've got to have all those chickens, you know, tagged. You've got, we're going to fine you $10,000 a day if you don't have a, you know, ID on all of your chickens or whatever they might be. We're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship, yet the average person living in the city has no idea of the pressure that the farmers are under. So go right ahead, Marty.
Well, this Lands Act ended up in Congress, and they, just to expedite things, they rolled all 167 land bills from all these different states into an omnibus package, and it was a complete cataloging and recording of all the land the corporate federal government claims it owns. Now, under the Constitution, if it was a constitutional republic, the federal government is restricted from owning any land other than the land it occupies. In other words, where its offices sit and what it needs to operate. It can't own any other land. But under the corporate federal government, they have owned national parks, they own waterways, they own lakes, they own rivers, they own mountain ranges. They own 88% of the land in Utah. They own 54% of the land west of the Mississippi. And this is what this lands omnibus bill was, this Lands Preservation Act, because they were trying to preserve the scenic beauty of the United States. Every bit of this was used to collateralize the bailout. And who did we borrow the money from? China. Okay? Now, here's the problem. The money that we had borrowed and that we already owed them, the land that the federal government claimed that it owned, did not meet the debt load. And China said, you've got to have something else. And this actually started occurring during the Bush administration. Condoleezza Rice goes to China and makes a deal with them saying, if you'll continue to loan us money, even though we don't have enough collateral, we'll allow you eminent domain in the United States. She made an agreement with them that they could physically come into the United States and seize property in lieu of our debt should we default.
Well, Marty, where can you verify that on a government document?
I can send that to you. I've got papers all over here. And I will send you a link on that. Now here.
But is this a valid thing or is this something?
Yes. No, here about.
Is there a signed agreement? Because certainly Condoleezza Rice cannot, negotiate a treaty with China to give eminent domain to China, you know, without the consent of the government.
Exactly. And she was working for the Bush administration. She was sent there. Now here about 6 weeks ago, Dr. Stan, they sent Hillary Clinton right before, was it right after this last bailout? Here again, we borrowed billions of dollars from China. And Hillary Clinton went to China and reaffirmed that agreement with Condoleezza Rice that Condoleezza Rice had made. All right, then the Lands Act comes in. Okay, they passed this Lands Act. And now they want this premises ID because you're conveying ownership of your property through the USDA to the federal government. It's all GPS located, just like in the Lands Preservation Act.
But it may very well be GPS located, but you still have a deed to that property, which is accepted as your right to own that property, and the federal government cannot give away your property. As you've already said, the only land that they own is just that, certainly in Washington, D.C.
But see, if they were operating as a constitutional republic, which we started out, okay, but like I say, in 1871, this was changed. Okay, and it's called the Organic Constitution of 1871. And the 43rd Congress met. They were supposed to be out of session. They were illegally called to session. There wasn't even a quorum there. They drafted or had drafted already this new constitution which established this corporate government. And things changed since then. Okay, the whole context and scope of how our government operated. Dr. Stan, if we were operating by the Constitution of the United States, 99% of the laws that they have passed just in the last 20 years would be null and void on their face.
They are null and void. They're totally unconstitutional. And, you know, the Constitution is still the law of our land, even though they cannot repeal the Constitution without a constitutional amendment, and they haven't got it. You cannot pass legislation.
They can say whatever they want to, but they can't. I understand what you're saying.
Hold that
I
thought.
Do.
We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Marty.
Okay, I say I understand what you're saying. I do. And, but you see, you and I are operating from the premise that you and I are governed by the Constitution of the United States. Their federal government doesn't give that any consideration. They don't. If you look at what our Congress does, there is nothing that goes on there that is indicative of a constitutional republic.
You're absolutely right, but the elite acknowledge the Constitution is still there, and you can read Richard Gardner's article in Foreign Affairs in April of 1974, where he was bemoaning the Constitution limited what they wanted to do, and he talked about doing an end run around the Constitution so they could bring about their world government, but he acknowledged that the Constitution was still in place, and these people acknowledge it's in place. You're right. What we need to do is get the American people educated and understanding that we have a number of subversive people operating at the lead part of our government, but you cannot repeal the Constitution without a constitutional convention, no matter what Congress does, without the approval of the states. So, I mean, what we need to do is educate the people about our Constitution and demand that we go back to it.
That's the thing, but you have federal officials, representatives, senators, so on, who work with the state senators and representatives, and they go on and do this stuff. Now, Senator Day O'Connor, and I believe it was in 1992, spoke for the court in an opinion of the court where she said in this particular case that Congress could not enlarge the powers of government, and even with the complicity of Congress, or state government, they could not just make you comply. This actually says, the opinion of the court on page 133, where Congress exceeds its authority relative to the states, therefore, the departure from the constitutional plan cannot be ratified by the consent of state officials. She goes on talking about there about the constitutional division of power, and then she ends saying the constitutional authority of Congress cannot be expanded by the consent of the governmental unit whose domain is thereby narrowed, whether that unit is the executive branch or the states. And this was the opinion of the court. They blew this off, went right by it. You can't tell me that these senators, some of whom have been there 30 years...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Before we go on, I'm going to give Marty a chance. Do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners?
Well, actually, two of them. And one of them is my own, which is the Proud Political Junkies Gazette, and that's at www.ppjg.wordpress.com, and the other is a relatively new site that a friend of mine has put up that's devoted solely to the food and animal issues, and that's http at farmwars.info/wordpress. And there's a lot going on there, a lot of good information, valuable information. I just can't stress enough that people need to get online and get involved and learn what it is you're dealing with here. These food safety bills that they're talking about, 875-759, you know, the Safe Food Safety Everywhere Act, Global Food Safety Act, all these things are doing is creating another monstrous bureaucracy dedicated to nothing but total control over the entire production of food supply in the United States. And most of what will go on if that agency is allowed to be created is enforcement, and it'll be fines and penalties. They even have a section in there for, it comes from UN Agenda 21, their plan for what they call stamping out. And if that is, if they find an animal that has disease, they kill every living thing in its tracks in a six-mile radius. And that's every bird, every fish, anything that walks, crawls, they kill it. They're going to have a demonstration of this in Illinois, I believe, in June. The USDA is putting this on, how to conduct a stamping out, downing herds, killing off wildlife, so on. And foreign visitors can come and observe this, but nobody domestically can. And but they're going to use the stamping out. And under the draft report from the USDA, they claim that in the event that they should want to do this, to find a need to do it, they don't have to prove that an infection was present. They only have to suspicion that one was. They don't have to quarantine. They don't have to do any testing prior to downing a herd or anything. They just come in and kill it. And then they'll decide later on whether or not testing needs to be done after they've killed your herd off. Like I say, and we know and we're finding out that these CAFO operations, these concentrated animal feeding operations, are just a den of disease and sickness. They're inhumane. It's just horrendous conditions for the animals, but they just breed disease, and but this is what they want to turn our system into. What they also do, and USDA refuses to acknowledge, is that about 95% of all foodborne illness actually occurs in processing, and normally in these mega industrialized processing plants. And they said, well, we need to be able to track back disease. You know, if a disease would come up and we get a sick cow, we need to know where it came from. They know already. That cow, most of them get a paper tag glued to their side coming in. It has an ID number on it from the veterinarian who certified it healthy that takes it right back to the vet, to the farm that it came from. There's a vet who checks in. You cannot just go out and round up livestock from anywhere, everywhere, and haul it in for processing. They won't take it. It has to be vet checked. The whole system is in place, but you see, it's without this premises ID and without this tagging that they've got all these, what is it, I think Angel Tech or something like that is already lined up. They've got all the tags ready, the readers ready, everything. And these people are allowed to attend these ag meetings along with Monsanto and Syngenta and all these other people who have a vested interest in having these laws passed because they're going to make a lot of money. They're allowed in, but people who oppose it and speak rationally about it are not allowed. And I'm telling you, this: if we don't stop this, if we don't stop this agency being created, if we don't squash these fake food safety bills, premises ID, national animal identification. And the thing is, they're going to scare us. They're going to come out and say, oh, there's a terrible disease, and we've got plague down so-and-so, and, you know, we've got to get, if we had this system in place, this wouldn't have happened. And you'll start hearing it more on the media that sick animals or disease spreading, and it's all going to be a stage show, every bit of it.
I think we've seen this over and over again in the past. Yeah. You know, we saw this about the poison spinach, you know, and one person or maybe two people died of a salmonella infection. And, oh, my goodness, we've got to track down the spinach. If we only had more federal laws, why this sort of thing wouldn't happen. And it's all hype. mean, yes. 2,000 people die every day of malaria because the United States outlawed the use of DDT. 5,000 people die of AIDS because we blocked effectively public health approaches to stop the spread of a sexually transmitted disease throughout the world. And they're worried about one or two people who died of the spinach, and they're not really worried about them. They're using this to justify federal legislation. I share your concern about this, Marty, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that there really are people who want a fascist society, and they're going to destroy food production in this country. In fact, I heard a story just yesterday from our good friend, mutual friend Daniel Harms, about some pig farmer that had a fairly large farm. I don't know how many pigs he had, but he had a fair amount of them and a lot of buildings. And the government officials came out. They told him they were going to fine him $30,000 a day until he got the things done that they insisted on. And he said, well, don't you worry, I'll take care of it. And as soon as they left, he just sold all of his pigs and sent them off to the slaughterhouse. That was the end of it, and closed down operations. Go right ahead.
That's exactly what they want to happen. If they can't drive you out of business by forcing these burdensome regulations and these inflated costs and the threats of fine and imprisonment and seizure of property, if they can't get you out of business anyway, the short run on this is we'll just force you out of business. We'll scare you so bad you'll just sell off everything you've got, and then you're out of business and you'll no longer compete with these big corporations, Tyson's and Cargill and all of them. You won't compete with them anymore. And part of what they're doing in this, too, is they keep talking about the vulnerability of the U.S. food system. This while China ships us one contaminated product after another, while Mexico ships us cattle with bovine tuberculosis. And they know that it's in the herd. They bring it right into the U.S. Gee, I wonder where that's going to go. Vietnam sends us contaminated fish. And China, though, if you punch in, contaminated foods from China in your computer search, I'm telling you, it'll bring up page after page after page of instances where China has shipped us contaminated products. Most recently, all these lawsuits over heparin that came from China. And it's contaminated, and people actually hemorrhage to death from it. But we do nothing to China. And in 875, H.R. 875, they actually exempt foreign imports from any consideration. If they, if we give them a list of things we want them to do and they sign off and say that they did it, that's good enough. And here, like I say, we've got all these products. Less than 1% of imported food is inspected. USDA, who recently, during the March 11th Ag Committee hearing in the House, said that they were underfunded and undermanned, and that's why inspections were down so low. But for some reason, they have an unlimited amount of money, an unlimited amount of manpower to go out and surveil private farms and ranches, trying to find something that these people are doing wrong so they can raid their property. We've got plenty of money for that. We've got plenty of manpower for that. But we can't inspect food imports from a known source of contamination. We can't go into Tyson or Cargill or any of these big processing plants and have an inspector there every day because it just costs too much money. And they just don't have the men. Well, maybe if they pulled some of those people off surveillance and grounded some of those helicopters they're flying around, they'd have time. They'd have the manpower. This whole thing, they're coming out and telling people, we've got to do this because if the food production gets too centralized, then we're vulnerable to a terrorist attack. Well, this is exactly what they're setting up, is a centralized food system. It's exactly these concentrated animal feeding operations. It's exactly what that is. And they talk about biodiversity, maintaining the biodiversity. They're already cloning. They're cloning and selling for meat cattle and pigs. So where is the biodiversity? Where is the natural process of nature in that? Nature has a way of culling out the sick and the weak and the diseased. It'll do that pretty much on its own. And they become stronger and healthier with better farming practices. there again, they come out, one of the things Colin Peterson is pushing is best farming practices. Best farming practices has caused starvation in 40 different countries of the world and food riots. Where this is, again, coming from Agenda 21 out of the UN. They set up this Codex Alimentarius. These committees are operating all over the world. They've gone into poorer nations and said, we're going to tell you what the best farming practices for you are. These are people who for hundreds, if not thousands of years, have been farming. They don't need Codex or the UN coming in there and telling them how to farm. They know how to do it. They've done it generation after generation after generation. As soon as these people stick their nose into it, suddenly the agricultural base falls apart. And suddenly, companies like Monsanto are in there selling patented seed. And they get roped into these contracts with Monsanto that are unaffordable. They can't afford to rebuy seed the next year. They cannot save seed any longer. And Monsanto, where the government will cooperate with them, will go in and destroy native traditional seed crops so that there is not that heritage seed there that can be replanted. So the only option these people have is to buy again from Monsanto, but they can't afford it. So they leave the farm, and of course the government and or Monsanto seizes the land. They put in GMO crops, and away we go. It just, like I say, the idea that they're planning for that for us here. This is exactly what they want here. Here in Minnesota where I live, it's estimated now that 90% of all the corn grown here is GMO. And at least 40% of the wheat. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this part of the country.
No, I'm surprised. Do they actually have a genetically modified wheat? I know they have the corn, the soybeans,
yep.
The cotton,
yep,
and soy. But they have wheat as well, huh?
Yes. I live in a rural area. I live in a small town of about 750 people. I'm surrounded by dairy farms and cornfields, and it's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking to drive these country roads now and know that what's sitting in those fields is an abomination, that the chemicals that are being dumped into all of our beautiful lakes, into our rivers, when it rains in the spring after the snow comes off and the rivers rise, and of course you get all this watershed off the fields and everything else, you can actually see a slick on top of the water. And the smell, you can smell chemicals. And in the spring when this happens, there'll be dead fish all up and down the riverbanks. There'll be dead fish washing up on the shores of the lakes. And it's from all the chemicals and the pesticides and the herbicides that are just being washed over the land, and this is done time after time after time. And then we're plagued with what they call super weeds that come from the GMO crops, from cross-gene transfer. And that's where it jumps, and the genes from one plant will combine with the genes of another plant. This happens very rapidly, and you get what are called super weeds. It takes 3, 4, 5 times as many chemicals to kill them off. We've seen a reduction in wildlife. We here a few years ago had a problem with what they call wasting disease in deer, and they didn't know where it was coming from, and it was all in one area, and it was in an area north and east of me that there was a heavy use of GMO crops and the corresponding herbicides, pesticides, and so on, and this wasting disease, they called it, was actually the toxic poisoning of the deer herds from consuming leftover, you know, corn that was in the fields, because everybody leaves stuff out for the wildlife. And here it was making these animals sick. And but all of this, this is what they intend for us. You know, this is what they intend for us. I look at our government. I don't know how these people can face us. Colin Peterson from here in Minnesota. I don't wonder that this man never shows up here. I don't know how he could face. This is such a heavy agricultural state, and if you've never been to Minnesota, it's It's breathtaking. It is something to behold in the spring when they're turning those fields over. In the summer when you watch these crops grow and you can, driving through the country at night, you can smell fresh mown hay. You can smell the sweetness of corn. In the fall, when they take the fields down and these farmers are out there 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning on these tractors with big headlights on them trying to get those crops in.
Well, I think, Marty, what you need to do is take a project and go after this congressman and get rid of him and run somebody against him in the primary and defeat him. And, you know, get the people to understand he's betraying the farmers, he's betraying the American people. And believe
me,
you know, if you and a few other people have put your mind to it, why, he's going to be so busy in Washington, D.C., he's not going to have any time to do anything until enough people understand that he's a traitor to our country.
And that, I don't think anybody could say it any clearer. That's what this man is. He is a traitor. He is a traitor to everything that we stand for as a country. He's a traitor to his own state. He has so betrayed these people and conned them. You know, just conned them.
But you need an active program using the Internet, using radio, using certainly the other means of communication that we now have we've never had before. To point out the newspapers are lying, the television, the radio are lying, and this man's a traitor and he's a subversive and, you know, and certainly you could get rid of him, but it's going to take an organized effort. But you have the ability to do it. You're very convincing. You speak with such intensity. Well, our guest has been Marty Oakley, and it certainly has been a pleasure to have Marty with us. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. But ladies and gentlemen, there really is an effort to destroy the small farmer and, of course, really to destroy our food supply. When you understand that, it really all makes sense. Otherwise, it's just organized madness.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The visual identification with using RFID, and then we've got a great 4DV set put forward by our good friend Pastor Billy Crone on RFID identification. So if you'd like to get any of these items, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a constitution, it's the law of our land, and we have subversive elements in Washington, D.C., who are violating that constitution, and we must call them what they are. They are subversives. Their loyalty is not to America, it's to power, it's to the global government, and of course, behind them, of course, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30. If you want to know who these people are, we put together a great syllabus called the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can't tell the players without a program, and we'll give you the program, tell you who they are. How do you understand this recent deal with Chrysler is going to be sold to Fiat, and our government is simply canceling out the debts from a lot of hedge funds and pension funds and saying, you're not going to get anything. We're going to give Chrysler to Fiat. Why is Barack Obama so interested in giving Chrysler to Fiat? Why, very simply, because the head of Fiat is a member of the Trilateral Commission. And there's only 87 members of the North American branch of the American U.S. citizens in the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. But 11 of them hold the key positions in Obama's administration. The man who gives instructions to the president every day is the head of the National Security Council, General James Jones. And according to his recent statement, if you want to have it, we'll be glad to send it to you. If you get something from us and just request the CFR statement by General James Jones. General James Jones said, I take my directions every day from Henry Kissinger. Why? Why, because Henry Kissinger is a member of the Trilateral Commission. General James Jones is a member of the Trilateral Commission. General James Jones, chief deputy, is a member of the Trilateral Commission, James Demelon. You need, of course, to have a program to be able to tell who the players are. And that's why, of course, Chrysler is going to go to Fiat. But nobody's going to tell you that. So you need to get, of course, go to our website, get the information. Certainly another excellent source is augustreview.org, Pat Wood, who we have as a frequent guest here at Radio Liberty. You need to read our newsletters at Radio Liberty, especially our November, December, January, February, and very soon the March newsletter will be up there, just pointing out how these people, well, certainly every president and or vice president of the United States between 1976 and 2008 just happened to be a member of the Trilateral Commission. Do you think that just happened by accident? And of course, I've been to the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a subversive organization located at 58 East 68th Street, New York City. 58 East 68th Street, New York City, New York. Formed as a front for a secret society. Page 952 of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And, of course, we have that book. It was suppressed for many years. If you want to hear Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, tell how his book was suppressed. We have an interview with Professor Quigley. You're not going to get these things from elsewhere. So the book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the background of the Council on Foreign Relations, page 952 of that book. And then, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations really controlled the American government from 1921, but really, of course, from 1945 until, of course, 1973, when David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission to take control of the American government. And they did take control of the American government. And, of course, if you want to verify that was their goal, you need to read Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies, but it's all in our newsletters. Our telephone number, 1-800-544.